Welcome to the Protectors Podcast. I'm your host.
Hey, welcome to the Protectors Podcast. I am glad to be joined by Jerry Williams. How are you doing today?
I am doing great.
Well, we were chatting a little bit, and you have a long and illustrious career with the Federal Bureau of Investigations. And you used to work with my wife a little bit back in Philly. And
yes. She kind
of gave me your background, so you can't... None of this shying away from who you really are, because you've done a lot in your career.
Yeah, you know, I really have. I'm proud of the investigative work that I've done, and I really believe that I, you know, am very skilled and an expert in frauds and scams. But I've also had a number of collateral duties in the FBI. So I can look at the Bureau in a way that many agents, you know, don't have the ability to do so.
Yeah, you know, well, one thing I was talking to Eileen about, Eileen's my wife for the audience out there, and she's an FBI agent as well. Now, she was saying, were you one of the first African-American females, right?
I wasn't one of the first. Matter of fact, I was the 23rd African-American female agent in the Bureau, but there are many times it felt like I was the first.
I'm sure. So tell us a little bit about, you know, I kind of want to jump back a little bit to when you first started the FBI, and tell us about that time frame and kind of just a little bit about that. That's really interesting to me.
Well, yeah. So I was a juvenile probation officer in Newport News, Virginia, and I loved that job. And I had kids on my caseload that were adjudicated for theft, for, of course, assaults, prostitution, drugs, etc. But I really liked working with them. The only problem was I was just a kid myself. I got that job right out of college, you know, between 22 and 25. I was growing myself and maturing myself. And here I was in a position to lead young lives. As a matter of fact, not only was I helping to guide my caseload, the kids on my caseload, but I was also working with their parents a lot, because all of my kids, I was actually called an aftercare counselor. So all of my kids had been sent away to reform school. I traveled all around Virginia to group homes and to correctional facilities to meet with them. Many times I took a van load of parents with me. It was really a huge job, a huge responsibility for someone my age. I think I did a fantastic job, but I think I also burned myself out of that job really quick.
So what brought the FBI into your sights?
Well, I saw a newsletter. It was simple as that. I mean, so recruiting ads do work. I saw a newsletter that said that the FBI was looking for women and minorities. And I said to myself, check, check. And it looked interesting. It's not as far-fetched as you would think, because my roommate and my best friend now, continuing to be my best friend now in college, once she graduated, became a police officer in Baltimore. So, you know, I already had my best friend who was in law enforcement. So to look at the FBI, you know, was something that, you know, I could say, yeah, you know, this could be something for me. So I called the Norfolk, Virginia office, you know, with the number that was where the ad was. And I talked to a recruiter, and that guy, Randy Waldrop, I will always remember him. He did a fantastic job of showing me how my skill sets as a, well, first of all, African-American woman, and then as a juvenile probation officer, how they could transition to the agent position. And I thought to myself, yeah, I'm going to do this.
No, that's actually, you know, just working with people, talking to people, that's a huge plus when it comes to law enforcement. You know that. And it's almost like you're interviewing, interrogating, but, you know, you're that whole rapport building thing. So, yeah, definitely. Definitely really good for an initial career.
Yeah, Definitely. And so it was quick. You know, it was really, really quick. Within 6 months, I was at the FBI Academy going through, you know, the training. And another thing that was good for me also is that I'm an Air Force brat. My father was in the Air Force for 21 years, and we traveled all around, not just the country, but the world, you know, England, Germany, Morocco, France. And so I was used to, you know, being in situations where I didn't know anyone, I didn't know anything, and I really had to learn how to adapt quickly. And so, again, my skill sets were ideal for this position. You know, I didn't know that before I saw the newsletter, but, you know, once I talked to the recruiter and once I got to the academy, you know, I knew it was going to be a good fit. And 26 years later, I can say, you know, that it was.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to talk about. You had 26-year career. You've been there, done that. And then you just wrote an awesome book. I absolutely love it. Can you tell us about it and how this came to fruition?
Yeah, so the book is called FBI Myths and Misconceptions, A Manual for Armchair Detectives. And the reason I wrote it is because I'm also the podcast host and producer of a podcast called FBI Retired Case File Review. And I only interview retired FBI agents. And every time we would do a case review, there would be a situation where someone would say, either myself or the person I was interviewing, yeah, that's not like it is on TV, or TV gets it wrong. And we kept saying that over and over again. So for my 50th episode, I did, you know, the top 10 myths and misconceptions about the FBI. And I thought I had covered them. And then when I had my 100th episode of my podcast, I did 10 more. And so now I had 20, and it just hit me. This is a book. This is a book. And so I took those 20 cliches and misconceptions about the FBI in books, TV, and movies, and I can include the news in that now. I took those and I created chapters for each of them. I the original ones were, I incorporated some of them together and added some new ones, but what I have now are 20 cliches about the FBI. And what I do is I bring in facts, I bring in quotes from the agents who were on my podcast, and I also bring in sections of the FBI website, you know, that really bring home, you know, what I'm trying to get across. And the last thing I do is I actually show or bring up a movie, a TV show, or a book that kind of goes with that particular cliche, whether they got it right or whether they got it wrong.
Now, in one part of the book, you actually have some really, really high, whatchamacallit, high profile characters in there. So you have infiltrating the mafia, being Donnie Brasco, and you actually talk to the real Joe Pistone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I like about the book. It's not just, you know, the cliches, but you're actually you're talking to the real people, the real characters. So it's really cool.
And the reason I really felt I needed to do that is, you know, I was in the FBI for 26 years. My area of expertise is frauds and corruptions and scams and things like that. And so when I am, you know, telling people about how the FBI actually investigates murders, or how the FBI, you know, might investigate a bomb blast, I thought that to really show the authentic side, to make sure that my readers really understand this is the truth. You're getting the real deal here, is that I bring on the agents who actually worked those topics. And I think it works well.
No, it definitely works well. And that's what I really want to tout this book a lot. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on right away, because, you know, just released not that long ago. And plus, it's on like different platforms, because I think you have on a Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Yeah. I tell people you can get it wherever books are sold. So it's been uploaded to countries all over the world. And, you know, I really wanted to do that because after, you know, operating my podcast for 3.5 years, I now have listeners all over the world. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, if they wanted to get a copy of the book, they could do so. So yeah, it's worldwide.
Worldwide. I love it. Now this isn't your first book either.
No, this is actually my third. So the truth is, I always introduce myself as, you know, retired agent, author, and podcaster. So I really am an author first. I mean, when I retired from the FBI, I took on a job as the director of media relations for SEPTA, which is the Philadelphia Transportation System. And I did that for 7 years. Love those people. Anybody listening from SEPTA, hey, how are you? But I left that job, and I left that job because I really had this desire to write crime novels. I've always been a person to read and watch police procedurals. And I love Law and Order. I love Michael Connelly books. I mean, that's my thing. And I've always wanted to write them. And so I actually quit, you know, a really good, well-paying job because I just had this desire to write. Now, I had actually written the book. You know, I had started writing the book before I left the FBI. And then I was working on the book the entire time I was at SEPTA. But it was time for me to, you know, really get the book out there, to get the book published. I was working with the literary agency, Curtis Brown, you know, at the time, trying to, you know, get this book out into the market. And I thought, you know what, if I'm really serious about becoming a novelist, I need to quit. And so I did. And the reason the podcast got started is because, as they say, when you're writing a book and you're trying to introduce yourself to readers, that you need a platform. And I thought, well, a good way of establishing my credibility as an FBI agent, as somebody who could write crime novels based on real stories and real cases, you know, as inspiration, would be to have a podcast, you know, focused on the FBI.
I think you and I are cut from the same mold. And you did bring up Michael Connelly, so.
Do you like him too?
He's my absolute favorite. You know,
I have not watched this season of Bosch yet.
Oh my gosh.
And the only reason is that it is based on the book that's out now, but the book before that.
Yep.
And I always want to read the book first. And because
you have to, definitely.
Yeah. And because I was working on my own book and the podcast, I really haven't had a chance. I usually read 2 books a month. That's not a lot. You know, it's probably more than the average person, but it's not a lot for somebody who really loves books as much as I do. But instead of being able to read 2 books a month, for the last several months, I haven't been able to read at all. Luckily, this weekend, I'm going to start reading again because, you know, the book is out and my time's freed. But that long story, just to say that I haven't started watching Bosch because I need to read that book first. And
well, you know, if you ever do audiobooks, Titus Welliver, the character who plays Harry Bosch, narrates the books now. Mm. So that's how I get through them. That's how I can get through my metro rides and everything else, is with the little Harry Bosch and Michael Connelly.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things for both of us. I mean, you're a writer too. Well, I'd love to talk to you about your book, but being podcast hosts, you know, we had to recognize that there are so many people that are listening to our shows who like to listen. And so I'm actually going to start getting my book, FBI Myths and Misconceptions, a manual for armchair detectives. I'm going to start narrating that as an audiobook. I'm going to be working with a studio next month to get that out.
Yeah, I absolutely love this book on that line, because I am revamping my original book into a second edition, and I'm using yours as kind of like, wow, this is how it should come out.
Good. Please do.
No, really. It's an absolutely great book. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, we've had a long connection. But I'm just saying it because it really is well done. And there are so many myths about the FBI. Because I tell you, I used to work dope in San Diego. And I just had a little smattering of the FBI. And it was always about, hey, you know what? Don't talk to the FBI. They're going to come swipe your case and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they're going to show up at the end of the day with their ray jackets. But the reality is, it's not like that. I mean, maybe like that somewhere, but the reality is it's not.
And yeah.
This is like a lot of these myths.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. Again, as someone who likes to read crime novels, a lot of times I avoided the ones that had FBI characters because I just got so angry. You know, I wanted to take the book and throw it across the room on many occasions because the cliches were just so bad, you know, absolutely.
Well, that's like, you know, anybody who's LEO, military, first responder or anything, and you watch these shows on TV and you're like, oh my gosh,
yeah, yeah,
who's their technical advisor?
Yeah.
So in that light, who gets it right? What TV show or movie gets it right?
Well, everybody says the same thing. And I have to agree that one of the best shows that gets it right is The Wire. Oh, I love that show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Because, you know, it was funny because, like I said before, I used to work dope. And when I first started working dope, it was almost just like The Wire, the beepers, you know. And then it went into the cargo. And, yeah, definitely. But as far as the FBI, who gets it right?
Who gets it right? Well, there was
close to it.
Yeah. There was a show called The Looming Tower. It was a Hulu show, and it was about the FBI and the CIA just before 9/11 and how those clues were missed. That was an excellent, excellent show. I really, really enjoyed that one, The Looming Tower. And it was actually, it was a TV show and it was fictionalized, but it was based on, you know, a true story. And they used the true names of the agents involved. And I got to interview one of those agents on the podcast, Ali Sufan, who is a legend in the FBI. And, you know, he even liked the TV series. Of course, there were points where they exaggerated. There was like a gun battle in the streets of, some Afghanistan or Yemen or something. That did not occur. But, you know, the show has got to be exciting. It's got to be interesting. They have to have viewers. So we just kind of ignored that. But I really enjoyed that particular TV show. I thought that was great.
Yeah, they did an excellent job. I watched that one as well. And that was based off of a really great book called, you know, the same name.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ali, if you're listening to this, I want to get you on a Protectors podcast. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That was like a true get for me when he agreed to do the podcast. I was just thrilled, and it just gave me I had been doing the show for 3 years by then, because he was somebody who was recent. I think I might have done him like November or December, and so I was already at closing into 3 years, but it was still a huge validation for me, you know, that he agreed to do it. So same thing with Joe Pistone, you know, from Donnie Brasco days. That was another one. Usually I have to find somebody to open the door. If I could just get John Douglas.
There you go.
That's another TV show. When you talk about, you know, what TV shows get it right, I love his new show, which is going to escape from my mind. And Mindhunter. It's a Netflix show.
I love that show.
Oh, I just love it.
I just
love it. And the show is about the early days of behavioral science unit and FBI profilers. It is just excellent. And it's not just the way that they interact, again, with law enforcement agencies around the country as they're trying to build their profile, but also the way they interact with their FBI bosses and FBI headquarters. That's another show that really gets it right. And one more, there was a book. It's one of my favorite nonfiction books. It's called The Informant. and it's by Kurt Eichenwald, who was a Wall Street Journal reporter. Wall Street Journal, not New York Times. Wall Street Journal, I believe it was. That book is excellent. It reads like a novel.
Oh, it does. And he put it down. I read that. And it's a big book, too.
It's like 500, close to 600 pages. I've read it twice. And again, one of the exciting things for me was to get the case agent of that case and interview him on my podcast. And so many of the books or the TV shows or the movies that I review in the book, I also have an interview with the agent who had that actual case. So it's, you know what, I have to say this, and I know I probably should be more humble, but I love my book too.
No, it's great.
I really do love it. I hold it sometimes, and I shouldn't say sometimes, because I hold it several times a day and I just flip through it. And I'm just so proud of, you know, not just the way it looks, the cover, the interior design, but the content inside. You know, it's like a scrapbook for me, kind of flipping through and remembering, you know, this particular agent that I spoke to, or this particular case that I was excited, you know, to cover. What can I say? You know, I love it.
Well, you know, and that's what I couldn't write. There's no way I could have wrote a book, you know, 20 years ago. It all comes down to experience.
Yeah,
it does. And now that you've had that 20 something years of experience, plus the podcasts and everything else, you become a subject matter expert.
Yeah.
So it's time to put it on paper.
Yeah. And that's what one of the, matter of fact, the interview that I have this that's up currently, I was, the agent I was interviewing, you know, said that because I've interviewed, you know, more than, you know, close to 180 agents and have talked to them and gotten their insights on ways to work with informants and to conduct arrests and searches and investigate cases, that I'm kind of like a walking encyclopedia. And, you know, I took a lot of that and I put it in the book.
Yeah. And you could tell, it's one thing. That's why a lot of, you're finding a lot more authors getting into the podcast realm. And, you know, Michael Connelly also has a really good podcast now.
Yes, he does.
So, and I'm going to give him a shout out when I post this podcast, because I got to eventually, I'd love to get him.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Good luck. You know, there are so many great, great podcast, potential podcast guests out there. Luckily, I don't have that pressure, because I only interview retired and former FBI agents. And so that makes it easier at times, and sometimes it makes it harder.
Yeah, but you know what? I like how you have a specialty. Mm. You know, like me, I'm not all over the board, but I focus on like law enforcement, military, first responders. And there's zero politics, and we just kind of chat like we're doing right now.
Yeah, that's nice. The zero politics is definitely, you know, what I stand for. And it was really strange, because I began my podcast in January of 2016. And it was just because, again, I love crime fiction. I love crime dramas. And so I thought, well, let me just do a podcast, and I'll go through the stories, the actual true FBI cases. And then we'll also talk about books and TV shows. And, you know, I did that from the very first show. You know, that was one of my goals, to explore that. But it got really serious, of course, in the fall of 2016, when the election came up. And then it became a mission. It became more of a mission for me to show the public who the FBI is and what the FBI does. Because now it wasn't just the irritating cliches that were in books, TV, and movies, but now we have this misinformation that's on the news. But one of the things that I decided to do is, because I believe the FBI should not be involved in politics. And so I mirrored that commitment by not having any politics on my show. Now, I've had a couple of great, really great episodes that I think that we talk about issues involving how the FBI works cases, such as Russian interference or cases that have maybe been brought forth during an election and how the FBI handles that. But again, we stay away from partisan politics because I want everyone to listen to this show. Because if I truly want people to learn about the FBI, I don't want to turn anybody away.
And that's exactly, you know, the mission of the Protectors is stay away from politics and just talk. You know, you got to get the stories out there right now about the real people doing the mission.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ground level, I always call like the ground truth. That's what I want to get out there. Is like, hey, you know what? A lot, the past few episodes I've had, a lot, we've been talking a lot about stress in law enforcement.
Yes.
Because a lot of, you know, PTSD from military, you know, a lot of vets are killing themselves. But now we're finding LEOs are, you know, suffering the same.
Was it four?
Yeah, four in NYPD.
Yeah, that was just shocking. So I have a couple of great guests that have been on my podcast that I'm going to share their names with you. One of them, that was his life work in the FBI, working for the employee assistance program.
Oh, awesome.
And working with, you know, PTSD and, you know, stress management. And once he left the Bureau, he's been retired for a number of years. That's what he does now. And so I think he would be an excellent guest. I actually spoke to him twice on my podcast, but I think he'd be an excellent guest for your show too. So even though I can't have you on my show, you know, I love your show. And so whenever I can, you know, if I can, you know, have somebody else have you on the show, or if I can suggest a guest for you, that's how I make up for being such a niche podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause I love, you know, that's my next mission is to, if I could help one person or get the mission out there for, that's going to help one person. That's all that matters to me.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to pass this name along to you, and I'm sure he would be thrilled to be on your show because, again, it's his mission to help as many first responders as he can, you know, to be aware of, you know, suicide prevention and, you know, what ways that they can de-stress.
Oh, perfect. Good. Definitely. Well, Jerry, I've been talking to you a while now, and you're probably going to be coming on a podcast again in the future, I'm sure. Because I like to have, I'm going to be starting to have return guests because I want to get updates.
Okay, great.
And talk about the podcast and all the other stuff and share contacts. That's like the big thing about the podcast world.
Yeah, it's a good world. It was something that I had no idea I was going to become a podcaster. You know, like I said, three and a half years now, I've been doing this every week. I have a weekly show, and the only time I take off is, you know, I take off 2 weeks during the holidays. And occasionally if I go out of the country, like I'll be going to France and Prague in September. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do a show or just skip those 2 weeks. But otherwise, it's a weekly show. And I really enjoy being able to, you know, communicate and share FBI stories with, you know, thousands of people around the world.
Well, tell us where we could find the podcast.
Well, you can find the podcast everywhere. You know, of course, we're on, you know, Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and, you know, again, wherever you listen to audio. I actually have my own website, jerrywilliams.com, and that's J-E-R-R-I, Williams.com. And of course I host my podcast there too. And also, just real quick, I forgot to talk about my blog.
Oh yeah.
I actually did a weekly blog. Boy, it was a lot of work on the TV show FBI that was on CBS this year.
Yeah.
So every week, I watched the show, I would live tweet. And then the next day I would post a review of what was great about the episode and what they, you know, got wrong, you know, not necessarily, sometimes I don't like to use the word wrong because sometimes misconceptions or cliches that are in an episode are there intentionally, because in order to move the episode along quickly, and I go through this in my book, you know, sometimes they have to use creative license or creative compromises. But what I did is every week, 22, I think there were 21 or 22 episodes, after each one, I talked about what was correct. You know, was that the way the FBI really would handle that particular show? So I do have that blog. I also blog about movies and other TV shows soon I'll be posting a post about the new TV show. I think it's called The City. It's on Showtime.
Oh, City on a Hill.
City on a Hill. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, skip it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. The way
they tried watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. The way they presented and I only got to watch the first episode because it's free. I don't have Showtime. I don't subscribe to Showtime, but I watched the first one, and the FBI agent is portrayed as corrupt, you know, sexual deviant, he was snorting cocaine, he was drinking on the job, and the worst part of it is that everybody knew it and accepted it. And I can tell you right now that's one thing I can tell you for sure. The FBI, of course, have had some bad players. There are people that have done, you know, some terrible things, but the FBI does not look the other way. There is no tolerance for bad cops. And if anybody thought that this, you know, there was an agent that was snorting cocaine or was an alcoholic or was doing any of the corrupt things that this guy did,
it's a rough show.
Yeah, they would not hesitate to turn this guy in. So yeah, I was really shocked that Kevin Bacon, you know, would take a role that was so outlandish. So
very, very interesting show. I'll leave it at that.
So anyway, I'm you can on my website, you have, you know, my books, you have the podcast episodes, you have the blog that I do. I'm on Facebook at Jerry Williams Author. I'm very active on LinkedIn, also on Twitter, Jerry Williams One, and Instagram, Jerry Williams One.
Very cool. And yeah, the name of your book is FBI Myths and Misconceptions by Jerry Williams. It's a manual for the armchair detectives.
Yes. And thank you so much. And good luck with your show. I would love to come back. I'm sure there's so many issues that we could talk about, especially when it comes to maybe frauds and corruptions. Definitely. And scams. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.